Is the Lord among us or not? I'm not checking my text. I just have something I want to refer to here. The last time I preached on this passage, I was going through old sermons thinking, I wonder if there's an old one I can just resurrect and use. This was last night. And I found that I did preach on this, but it was 6 years ago, and there was a couple here. If you were here, maybe remember Brett and Jamie Vanderberg. They were our summer interns. Brett was in seminary at the time, and they spent the summer with us, and they were getting excited. They were a young couple, newly married, and do any of you remember him? Brett was a great young couple. And they were getting excited to go. He was going to go pastor in rural Iowa, a little church in rural Iowa. So, you know, God makes us all different, because I can't imagine getting excited about going to pastor a church in rural Iowa. But I just got an email, and that's what reminded me of it. I just got an email from Brett, and I just want to read a couple things from it. He said, good morning. Good morning. Sorry. Good morning, Jeff. Jamie and I have been thinking and praying for you these past few weeks during the two hurricanes. I saw your posts and messages that were distributed through the RCA's Facebook page. Our church here in Iowa has contributed financially to RCA relief efforts, and I hope and pray it gets to the St. Thomas Reformed Church, which it will. I'm writing for two reasons. First, simply, I want to share my continued gratitude for... Sorry. No, I'm fine. For the gift that your church was when I interned on the island. Jamie and I talk often of memories from St. Thomas and the wonderful people there and the experiences that we got to share. We now have three children, all boys. I said the same thing. I was like, what? When did this happen? Didn't you just leave here as a young couple and you had no kids? And now we have three, Gabriel 5, Trigvi 3, and Elias 2. Our house is crazy and so much fun. And then he goes on to say how church members of his church in Applington, Iowa, are praying for us, and they would like to send a work team of volunteers to come and help, which we will try to coordinate. It gets me choked up because, again, when I talked last week about the blessings being returned, you know, this church... We set money aside, and you gave offerings, and we supported interns, and they came, and some of you gave vehicles and houses, that, you know, and we worked it out, and they were blessed, and they're coming back around again, full circle. The more you give, the more you receive. And it struck me that, you know, that they have three children. Life goes on. You know, we're here, and my head is in... hurricane relief, and other people are living their lives, and life goes on, and there are blessings that are coming and have been. Three kids. And it reminded me of the words that Jessica just read. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Never. His mercies never come to an end. Never. And they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And that, to me, was the answer to the question that the Israelites were asking. Is the Lord with us or not? Yes, of course. You may not see it now, you may not believe it now, you may question it now, but the answer is yes. Yes. God's mercies never fail. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Through every storm. And so still we are here on this journey, and we're going through our own wilderness, as you may. And, you know, there are people that are struggling with other things here and who have been away from here, you know, members of our own congregation and friends who have lost loved ones and who are battling cancer and are having surgery in the States, and some coming up here. Why were the Israelites complaining to Moses? They're thirsty. That was the only reason at that point. They were thirsty. They wanted something to drink. They were camped at Rephidim, as we're told in the story, and there was no water to drink. no water. Sounds like paradise. Tired of the water. Complaining about the water. Thirst is what drove the Israelites to ask the question, "Are you with us?" They're suffering in the desert, there's no water, they're thirsty, and they're wondering, "Why did you bring us out here? Why? It was better in Egypt. It was better. Compared to the way things are now, bondage, slavery was better." Really? How bad does it have to get that you would actually contemplate giving up your freedom for a glass of water? I thought it was ironic that after Irma hit, we were scrambling to find water for people to drink. And then Maria hit and dumped, what, 300 feet of water on us? And we're still scrambling to find water for people to drink. How is that? Too little water, too much water. And you can ask the same question, is the Lord with us or not? You can wonder the same thing, is the Lord with us or not? Not enough water. Are you there, Lord? We're thirsty. Too much water. Are you there, Lord? We're drowning. We're flooded. And that pretty much sums up the human condition. Quite often, it's either not enough or it's too much. Not enough or too much. How often do you find yourself? How often do we find ourselves in the middle of these things, this journey, and even in these wilderness journeys, complaining because something is either not enough or it is too much? Where is the story about the people who, no matter what is happening in the midst of their lives, they say, "Hey, God, you know, I just want to thank you for what I have, because it's just enough. Sure, maybe I could use a little bit more of this, or maybe I don't have enough of that, but you know what? I'm okay. And I'm grateful, and I'm not going to complain about what I don't have. I'm going to be grateful for what I do have." I think we all find ourselves a little less concerned with certain things post-hurricane. I know I do. They just don't concern me that much. So a different perspective comes. I think, and I've spoken with the other pastor, Jeff, and I think he will tell you the same thing happened after Hurricane Maryland. But that was over 20 years ago. Enough time for an entire generation to forget or to have never experienced thirst. Want, scarcity, longing, exodus. This is something I did share with you, and I'll share with you again. It's a one-act play, and this is a short scene from a Eugene O'Neill one-act play called Thirst. And it's about three hapless victims of a cruise ship disaster. And they are left floating out in the sea with no water. And he describes in vivid detail their shriveling bodies as they thirst. And as thirst overcomes them, a shift happens in their values and in their priorities. One of the castaways is a dancer, and she has an expensive necklace around her neck that the other man in the boat suggested that she offer to the third man for a drink of his water that he still had. The dancer says, "This necklace is worth £1,000. An English duke gave it to me. I will not part with it. Do you think I am a fool?" The gentleman laughed harshly, said, "You will take your necklace to the sharks with you. For my part, I would sell my soul for a drop of water." Well, thirst finally overcomes the dancer, and she eventually does trade her necklace for one drink of water. Thirst readjusts her priorities. Thirst drives her to make decisions that otherwise she would not have made. Thirst helps her to see the true value in things. The water of life is far more precious, it turns out, than a cherished diamond necklace. I wonder if that's what the Israelites learned during their wilderness wanderings, during their exodus. Doesn't really matter, does it? Doesn't matter what they learned. Matters what we learn. Doesn't matter how they shifted their priorities. It matters how we shift our priorities. Doesn't matter how they placed value on things. It matters how we place value on things. I won't speak for everybody, but I sensed this week, especially after the rain we had the day before, I don't even remember when it was now, that there's a little bit more of a sense of weariness as you come down and the roads are once again blocked and torn apart and things are flooded again. And we are all kind of on this journey between promise and fulfillment. And that's what was happening with the Israelites. Promise. The promised land is where they're headed. The land flowing with milk and honey. It's out there. I just don't know when we're going to get there. Don't know exactly where it is. Don't know exactly how we're going to do this, and we're going to be thirsty along the way, but it's there. The promise is true. And fulfillment. We finally get there. This has grown back, and I'm picking those delicious mangoes off of that same tree that I thought was dead. Fulfillment. We are all somewhere along this journey between promise and fulfillment. And it is quite natural for any of us at any time to say, you know what? Is the Lord with us or not? Is the Lord with us or not? But the truth is, and I'll leave you with this, I think we've all learned this again, and if we haven't, I hope we will. God's providence is more evident in the struggle than in the redemption from the struggle. God's providence is more evident in the struggle than it is from the redemption or deliverance from the struggle. Is the Lord among us or not? Yes. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.